Greetings, I'm Noel Deere. Welcome to today's Daily Devotion. I hope these next few minutes will encourage you as you seek to learn God's Word and abide with Christ. Our focus today is John chapter 5, verses 17 through 23. And in our recent devotions in John 5, we've seen Jesus heal the man at the pool of Siloam, and we've seen this pushback from the Jewish religious leaders because they believed that Jesus had violated their Sabbath rules. Now today, Jesus is going to continue to speak and teach prompted by their pushback. And he's going to use this situation at the pool to reveal more about his identity and more about his mission. Let's begin in verse 17. Jesus responded to them, "My Father is still working, and I am working also." So Jesus explains his work on the Sabbath, and he does so in a way that gives us some additional insight into the fact that Jesus is God. So we go all the way back to Genesis 2:2. There we see that God rested on the seventh day. And that really provides us the pattern for our seventh day rest. But note, God's rest on the seventh day was a rest from his work of creation. God continued his work of sustaining the creation. Without that kind of continued work, the whole creation would collapse. The whole creation would cease to be. So God continues that kind of work. He only rests from his creative work. So Jesus says that just as the Father continues to work, he, Jesus, continues to work. Jesus is saying that whatever factors justify God's continuous work on the Sabbath, those same factors justify his own work on the Sabbath. Now, look at that closely. By saying that, Jesus is claiming to be equal to God. Now, we saw that the religious leaders were very upset that Jesus violated their Sabbath rules. Now, they will be even more incensed that Jesus claims to be equal to the Father. Let's see. Verse 18. "This is why the Jews began trying all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father and making himself equal to God." Now, people regularly misunderstood Jesus, and he was constantly correcting them. But Jesus never attempts to correct this understanding, this belief that Jesus was claiming to be equal to God. He never corrects that because that's exactly what he was saying. Now, this showdown that had been brewing now has become the focus, the showdown between these religious leaders and Jesus. It's really putting them in a position where the religious leaders have to make a decision. Will they recognize that Jesus is sent from God and hear his words and understand that he is equal to God? And will they submit to him? Or will they continue to put themselves in their own religious system first? That's an important question. And we know what the answer is, at least with these religious leaders. Look at verse 19. Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things." It's interesting in my Bible, Jesus' words begin, "Truly, truly." It only says "truly" once in the Bible that I read. Your Bible, it might say it twice. That's the more literal translation. In the original language, it says it twice. And the word there is "amen." "Amen, amen," Jesus says. Now, that word comes from the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew word, and it just means truthful. And Jesus will sometimes use this word, "amen," or "truly," your Bible may say. He'll use this word to introduce, to preface some very significant statement that he's going to make. And here he does that. The statement is this: the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. So here we see something of the subordination of the Son to the Father. Now we know that the Son is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and we've talked about that in earlier devotions. But it's also true that the Son is subordinate, at least in this context, right? He is subordinate to the Father. But then it goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say, whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does. So here we see an emphasis on the equality of the Son and the Father. For the Son to be able to do whatever the Father does means the Son is equal to the Father. So we see the subordination of the Son to the Father, but we also see the equality between the Son and the Father. And we'll see something more in the next verse, verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these so that you will be amazed. Now in verse 19, the focus was on the subordination of the Son to the Father and the equality of power between the Son and the Father. Verse 20 shines a light on the unity of knowledge, what the Father knows, the Son knows, and a unity of purpose. They're working together. Look at verse 21. And just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. So this verse further provides evidence of the equality of power. But there is a distinction here to note. In the Old Testament, we will find examples of people, prophets, raising people from the dead. I think about Elijah in 1 Kings 17 or Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4. But when those people, when those prophets raised people from the dead, they were acting as agents or representatives of God. But here in this verse, it says that Jesus acts on his own agency. It says the Son gives life to whom he chooses to give life. And so here we see something of the sovereignty of Christ. Look at verse 22. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Again, a further attestation of the deity of the Son. While the Father is the judge of all the earth, the Son, in perfect harmony with the Father, judges all men. Look at 23. So that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Those equal in nature, there are three things here that I want to point out. Number one, those equal in nature, those equal in their works they do, the power that they have, their sovereignty, their judgment, they should be accorded equal honor. So Jesus and the Father are equal, and so both should be honored. Both should be honored. The second thing I think we see here is that the Father's honor is not in any way diminished by us paying honor to Christ. Now, in a normal situation, you honor one person or you honor another person. And the more you honor the second person, that's the less you're honoring the first person. But that's not the case here. In fact, when we honor Christ, the honor we have for the Father is enhanced. And so the Father's honor is not in any way diminished by the honor paid to Christ. And then number three, any religious expression, any religion that seeks to honor God without also honoring Christ is false. That's how he ends this. He says, anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. There's so many religious expressions today that seek to honor God but not honor Jesus, and this says that is unacceptable. This is also the answer to the question that pastors get from time to time. Pastor, will you come to our civic event, and will you pray a prayer without mentioning Jesus Christ? What's the proper answer to that question? It's right here. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So the answer is no. When I pray, I honor Jesus. Because if I don't honor Jesus, I'm not honoring God. And if I'm not honoring God, there's no point in praying. So friends, thanks for watching or listening. If you're on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. Search Pastor Noel's Daily Devotion on your favorite podcasting app. I hope you have a great day as you endeavor to abide in Christ.